Oh, it's good to be here again.
Our dear brother in the chair here, he said, "I didn't think you were coming anymore." But we found a quicker way to get here. So we do it in under an hour now. So that's good. And last week, I was... You'll see I've got notes. I'm getting old. And last week... I was in a Baptist church in a place called East Boulder. You may never have heard of it, but it's the other side of Bewley. It was 45 miles from home, but we had a great time there. And it's so wonderful to have fellowship with friends in Baptist churches. I used to go round Methodist churches. I used to be called the preacher from another church when I visited the Methodist churches. And now all those churches are closed. They've all been sold. They've all been turned into homes. How sad. There's no witness in those villages anymore. And it's a great pity. But it's good to see that there are folk still coming to this hall here. I mean, it's been here since, what, the 1920s, Stuart? Pardon? 30. Well, it's over 80 years old, so that's good. Our little chapel that we go to has been there for 220 years. And it's been a great witness. And in fact, in 1907, there was a revival in the village. And the church was absolutely packed. And to get the people in, because it's got wooden pews, they had to put planks across. They wouldn't allow it today, it's health and safety. But they put planks across the aisle. And people sat on those planks. And the gallery was filled as well. That holds 40, but there was over 60 up there. And the people were outside as well. And folk were falling in down on their knees in the street and asking the Saviour to be theirs. There was a tremendous revival. But you wouldn't think so to see the village today. It's as hard as iron. And devil worship goes on. They have Satanist groups, and it's so sad. And I think this is almost as hard these days. But I understand that you're going to have some sort of outreach. And you have had outreaches in the village, I believe, which is great and wonderful. What I'm reading today is from John chapter 14. And I've somewhat slightly modernized. I don't use the authorized, I use the New King James Version. So I've slightly modernized. Not much, but just a wee bit. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me, I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then we look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know that the Lord will bless that word to our hearts and souls. Let not your heart be troubled. Why was the Lord saying this to his disciples? Well, if we look back over the last two chapters before this, we will see that the Lord had told his disciples that he was going to be betrayed, that one was going to deny him, that he was going to be taken to Jerusalem, that he was going to be put to death on a cross, he was going to be lifted up from the earth. And naturally enough, the disciples were scared. They were afraid. They were unhappy. And so the Lord comes to them and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about it. And you know, dear friends, as we look at our television screens today, as we read our newspapers, not that I get a newspaper, only the local one, but as we look at all these things happening in the world today, in Syria, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in all sorts of places throughout the world, we see the prophecy of our Lord Jesus in Matthew's Gospel coming apart, that there will be wars and rumours of wars in diverse places. Nations shall rise up against nation. There will be famines and pestilences and disease and earthquakes in diverse places, eruptions and goodness knows what. And we can look around our world today and it's happening. It's happening. But you know, the wonderful thing is the Lord says to us, don't be worried about it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Isn't that fantastic? We've got a faith that is sure and makes us unafraid of these things that are happening all around us. Persecution is already in this country. An open-air preacher down in Devon was arrested and taken into custody. And when the case was produced before the magistrate said, what a stupid thing to bring before me, he said. We have a gift. We have the ability to speak out in the streets. We have that safeguard in the law. case dismissed. And he was then seen out on the streets again the next day, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Christ. Absolutely wonderful. We know a dear friend of ours who is an open-air preacher in London, Jim Henry. And he gets heckled, he gets moved on by the police, and all sorts of things happen. But he still continues to preach the word of the Lord on the streets of London. And the majority of people being saved are Muslims. Two imams in London have come to know Christ as their saviour. Wow. That's fantastic, isn't it? In charge of a mosque. And suddenly, he's not in charge of a mosque. He's out with Jim on the street preaching the gospel of Christ. And yes, applause is great, because it's wonderful, isn't it? It's tremendous. And one of the countries that we're often reminded of is where our friends have just come from, Romania. In Romania, there are 5 Bible schools. 5, run by the Slavic Gospel Association of the UK. And they've opened up 5 Bible schools in Romania. And we pray for them every day. And it's tremendous, the work that's going on in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. It's terrific. Kazakhstan. Now, there's a country that brought a law out against the gospel and said no gospel will be preached, no churches will open. That was 2 years ago. This year, they're losing a battle, so they've decided to register the churches. And there's a Baptist church in the capital of Kazakhstan, the biggest in the country. And there's also an SGA Bible school in the middle of Almaty, the capital of Kazakhstan. And young men from Kazakhstan itself are entering that Bible school and coming out and teaching the gospel on the streets of Kazakhstan, a country where the gospel is banned. You can't ban the gospel. You can't ban God's work. He will do it despite the laws that are brought out. That's why he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he brings out, in my Father's house are many mansions. Do you know some of the interpretations of God's word says there are many rooms? What would you like, a mansion or a room? I think God's heart is great enough and he's powerful enough to give us a mansion, not just a room. It's wonderful, isn't it? What a wonderful Saviour we've got, haven't we? Haven't we? Yes, we have. He's a wonderful Saviour. And he loves us, whether we're young or whether we're old. He loves the little lad there. He loves me. He loves Trudy. He loves all of us. And he's a wonderful God, isn't he? Even you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I remember Dan when he was at the hospice with me, when Dorothy was in there. And we had a lovely chat together in that room, didn't we? And we spent time around the Word. It was great. It was wonderful. So yes, here's the Lord saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about things. If you're concerned about something, then for goodness sake, get on your knees and pray about it. Do you know, I've heard Christians say to me, but I can't do anything. I can't witness to somebody. I can't preach. I can't do anything. And I've always said to them, well, jolly well pray. You can do that. But how do you pray? A little child can pray. So why can't you? And you know, unfortunately, in many of our churches today, that is what is missing.
Prayer. It's important. It's the most important part of a Christian's life, is prayer.
Of course, the greatest one is trusting in the Lord, but in the Christian life is prayer. So if you're worried about things that are happening in the world, if you're concerned about all the immigrants that are fleeing their countries and so on and so forth, then pray. Pray. You know, I've been looking at the wheelchair there, and you see the wheel. It's got a hub, and it's got spokes leading to the rim of the outside. Only once a couple of those spokes to go wrong, and that wheel will collapse. And you know, it's just like the Christian church, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ is our hub. We are the spokes that go out. And if we're not in the same mind as one another, that wheel will collapse. Our fellowship will be destroyed. That's why we need prayer to keep us together. That's why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Do you know, I was reading, I brought these because I was reading something about John Nelson. He was a 18th century Methodist preacher. And he was put into a stinking hole of a prison. Why? Because he preached the gospel. And do you know what he said? He said, my soul was as a watered garden. I could sing praises to my God all the day long. For the Lord turned my captivity into joy and gave me rest on the solid floor as well as I could have had on a bed of pebbles. Wow. Ooh. That's fantastic, isn't it? Would you think that if you were in prison? Would you? An Iranian lady who was released from prison quite recently was asked by her friends, what was it like in prison? Oh, she said. She was there for 6 months. Oh, she said. It was a honeymoon with Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's fantastic, isn't it? A honeymoon with Jesus. And you know, if John Bunyan hadn't gone to prison, we would never have had the Pilgrim's Progress. Because he wrote that in prison. Fantastic. And Billy Gray's biographer said of him, it was natural for him to leap and to dance and caper for joy. He seemed free from care like a young lion frolicking in the meadow. If you've seen young lambs frolicking in the meadow, they're fantastic. I love to watch them. And I love to watch little pigs when you call them and they come down towards you. It's wonderful, it is. I used to work at the Wilds Farm up the back here, and we had 2,000 Wessex saddleback pigs, and the little piglets were a joy. To sit in there amongst the straw and hold them in your arms, they were great, really wonderful. Let not your heart be troubled. I know I digress sometimes, but they're wonderful memories that I have. And the Lord here is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Yes, Peter, I told you you were going to deny me, but don't let it trouble you. Don't let it trouble you. But Peter said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'll stand by you. I'll be with you all the way. He denied the Lord. And you know, after he had denied the Lord that 3 times, he turned and the Lord turned and looked at him. Did the Lord look at him with disgust? Did the Lord look at him with
a look that said, I hate you because you've denied me? No. The Lord looked upon him with a look of love. You look at John 21, when Peter appeared before the Lord, and the Lord asked him the three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I do. And at the very last time, Peter, do you really and truly love me? Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know I love you. And dear friends, sometimes the Lord asks us that very same question. Do you love me? Do you really, truly love me? And what's our answer going to be? Is it going to be, yes, Lord, I do? Well, Lord, I do sometimes. Or perhaps, Lord, sorry, I haven't loved you for a long time.
Where else could I go?
Where else could you go? That's what I like about this. You get people talking from the congregation. I think that's great. That's wonderful. Jesus is alive! God, they remembered. Brilliant. I'm saying that in all the churches now. And last week it was only Muriel that said hallelujah. So we had another go. But it's great. Jesus is alive. Don't let your heart be worried. Don't let yourself be troubled. I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm not going to stay there and keep it to myself. I'm going to come and I'm going to take you to be with me. Where? And it was wonderful when Dorothy died at that hospice. She sat bolt upright and I was holding her hand and she said, don't worry, Wally, I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. Down, gone, and she was safe in the arms of Jesus. Well, my other sister, Rosemary, whom you know, she's in a home in Petersfield, and the last time I went to see her, I went out to the car and I wept because she didn't look like my sister anymore. And I've lost one sister. I didn't want the other one who's 4 years younger than me to go before me. But he probably will. But Doug's in there with her now. And he sits there holding her hand. It's going to be a spectacular year next year. Because my son's going to be 50. Deborah, Rosemary's daughter, is going to be 60. Rosemary will be 80. And Doug will be 90. And our young son's getting married. So so that's good. So we've got a good year next year. Don't let your heart be troubled. Wow. And then Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And poor old Thomas, that doubting Thomas, says, but Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? And then Jesus said those wonderful words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God, what a joy that brings to my heart. I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Praise the Lord, he is. Because I know the way. I know the truth. And I have that life throbbing through my heart and veins. You see, man, why are we not to worry? Well, man can destroy the body. He can't touch our souls. He can't touch our spirits. And when we depart this scene, our souls and our spirits go straight to God.
and our body goes in the ground. But that body is not going to stay there. That body is going to be raised, and it's going to be made into an immortal body. And then we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that place that he prepared for us. That's why we needn't be worried. We needn't be concerned. We're going to be safe in the arms of Jesus. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Is that great? Well, come on then. Is it great? Yeah. Yes, of course it is. And it's so wonderful, isn't it? Tremendous. Did you know last week I was telling the folks, I probably already told you, but it doesn't really matter, does it? But we were, Muriel and I one morning were listening to Haydn's Creation. And we couldn't hear the soloist because he was singing so low. And we turned the CD player right up high. And the soloist was singing, and God said, let there be. And the choir came in, and their voice came in with light. And I think everybody in our crescent must have heard that when it came out. Anyway, this dear old lady, after the meeting last week, came up to me. She said, that was fantastic, she said. I said, why? Well, we'd driven there in pouring rain, and it'd been an absolutely terrible day. And she said, you shouted light, and the sun came out, and it's been out ever since. And I thought, well, I'm not that powerful. But it's wonderful, isn't it? Let there be light. You've got light in your heart. Have you got light in your soul? I tell you what, if you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you've taken him and asked him into your heart and life, then you've got light. Light in your heart and light in your soul. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So Jesus says, I am the way. And that's the only way to go. There are two ways, a broad way and a narrow way. You need to go in the narrow way. You need to go in the narrow way and down that narrow way that leads to life. Because the broad way leads to destruction. It leads to hell. And I was asked by a church near Southampton many, many years ago if I would go and take their morning service. And I accepted. But there was a proviso on the bottom of the letter. If you come, please don't talk to us about the second coming or hell. So I accepted the invitation. And at the end of the service, I said, I'll tell you this much, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you're on that broad road, you're not waiting for his coming, and you're going to hell. I wouldn't ask again. I don't know. Anyway, I wasn't asked until about 3 months later, I got another letter from the church. Please, will you come and take our inaugural service for the new church that we've sacked our pastor and we have a new church. Can you come and take the inaugural service? And my word, I was only too willing. That Sunday I jumped on my motorcycle and I was away down to Southampton to take that inaugural service, and what a service it was too. Wow, there was rejoicing there. And they wanted to hear about the second coming. They wanted to hear and be warned about hell. Do you believe in the second coming? Do you? Why? If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm waiting for it. And you know, dear brethren and sisters, I don't think it's going to be long. This world's getting worse and worse. It's getting to the state where God will look down and say, well, that's enough, enough is enough. My son, go and get them home. Go and get them home. The dinner of our pastor in our chapel were talking about the second coming of the Lord, and my mobile phone at that time, its ringtone was trumpet sounding. And he was talking about the coming of the Lord, and he said, and the trumpet shall sound, and my phone went off. And all you could hear was his trumpet sounding in the church, and people looking there, is the Lord here? No, he wasn't here. He was only my phone. You needn't worry, I'd put it on silent. So, but there we are. I'm coming with name. And Paul tells us in Thessalonians that the trump of God shall sound. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. Those two wonderful words, they really are. Caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with his word. Jesus is coming again. Isn't he? He's coming again. He's going to take me, he's going to take you, and we're all going to be joined together with Dorothy, with my mum and dad, and with you, perhaps your parents, and your brothers or sisters or whatever, who have gone before, and we're all going to go up and meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. And that's where I argue with one of the hymns in the Sanctus book, which says, on a bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ will rise. It won't be cloudless because we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And it'll be so quick nobody will see it. Can you imagine the consternation of people when they see thousands upon thousands of empty graves? When cars will be crashing into each other because the Christian driver has gone. Buses, airplanes, trains, ships going off course because the Christians have gone. It'll be absolute chaos on this earth. But let not your hearts be troubled, you won't be here. You'll be in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How much longer have I got? You know, I always get that here. Some churches, you're preaching and the people are looking at the clock. And it can half put the preacher off sometimes. They're looking at the clock and saying, he's gone on a bit, you know. I know you've got a break in the bread afterwards, so I won't be long. Now here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the Lord, if we go to that verse 27, the Lord says these wonderful words, my peace I leave with you. The world can't give you peace. It doesn't know what peace is. We fought a world war in order to bring peace to the world. It didn't come. It did for a little while, but it didn't really last.
Because after the Second World War, there was the Korean War. There was a war in Malaysia against the communists. There was a war in Kenya against the Mau Mau. And there was a war in Afghanistan, and where I was born was near the Khyber Pass, where my father was in the British Army. And what was he doing? He was fighting the Afghans. It doesn't change, does it? Way back in 1932, they were still fighting the Afghans, trying to stop them getting into India. And I was born there, in Murray Military Hospital. And came back to this country when I was 5 years old. And lived in Aberdeen, up with the Scots, in the city of Granite. And then when my father came out of the army, after 32 years in the army, he didn't know Christ as his saviour. But here in this hall, one Thursday evening, he was at a prayer meeting. And I was led to pray for my father out loud in that prayer meeting. And Stuart's grandfather was here, Tom Cartwright. And as we walked up the road to the forest, there was Tom, Mr. Cartwright, and my father and myself. My father said to Tom Cartwright, he said, "Mr. Cartwright, the battle is over." And he didn't mean the Second World War. He said, "Jesus has won the battle in my life." And you know, I was walking behind him and the tears were flowing. I was so happy that my dad had come to know Christ as his saviour. And a couple of months later, this was open. And I watched my father, Rosemary, and Dorothy go through the waters of baptism. And again, I was seated at the back there, and the tears were flowing. Tears of happiness, tears of joy. The three members of my family were saved, born again, and my mum was crying as well. Two of those members have now gone, but praise the Lord, they're with him in the glory. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah, what a saviour. And you know, Billy Bray once said, "If they shut me in a barrel, I'll shout hallelujah through the bunghole." And you know, he was seated in a dentist waiting room with Billy Bray, and he was reading his Bible, and every now and again he'd shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And one of the patients went into the dentist and said, "Can't you shut him up? Fed up with him, keeps shouting hallelujah." So the dentist gave him a National Geographic magazine, and Billy started to read it. And all of a sudden, hallelujah! And when he got into the dentist said to him, "Why did you shout hallelujah when you read in the Geographic magazine?" He said, "Well, it says in there that no one knows the depths of the deepest sea, and that's where my Saviour's put my sins. In the depths of the deepest sea, hallelujah, what a Saviour." Fantastic, isn't it? And you know, I wrote on the bottom of here something that we all know. I'm sure we all know it. I'm certain we do. Oh, that's not mine. That is. And it's this, and you can join in, all of you. It's from the old CSSM chorus book. And it says, "Joy, joy, joy, with joy my heart is ringing. Joy, 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 his love to me is known." My heart. Come on. Hallelujah. "Joy, joy, joy, with joy my heart is ringing. Joy, 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 his love to me is known. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. My heart is bubbling over with its joy, joy, joy.
Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we've got. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in Jesus Christ. We're in his Father's house of many mansions, and he's gone to prepare a place for us that we can go to spend our eternity with a Savior whom... what's your name again? Trevor. And Trevor was praying and saying that we're going to be with him, the one who went to Calvary's cross, who took our sins in his own body on that tree, so that we might be forgiven. And all that remains for us to do is to put our faith and our trust in that living Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do that, then we know we're going to be with him. So we just bow our heads and pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we praise you, we bless you, and we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you spared him from your side. You spared him to go to Calvary's cross, to take our sins in his own body on the tree. And Lord, there was a time while he was on that cross that even you turned your face away from him, because you could not look at the blackness of our sin, Lord. And our Lord Jesus Christ had to cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you was forsaken, Lord Jesus, because of our sin, the blackness of our sin. But Lord Jesus, we've come to you, and in faith, we believed in you. We believe in your finished work on Calvary's cross, and Lord, we give our hearts to you. And we praise you, bless you, and thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that one day you're coming back to receive us to yourself, that where you are, there we might be also. So Lord, bless this little place here in Lisp. Build it up, Lord, according to your will. Add to its numbers such as should be saved, so that the glory of the Lord will be seen here in this place. For Jesus' sake. Amen.